And welcome everybody to the Super Wire Show. I'm your host, Showtime George, and with me as always is my Blitzcrew family. I've got Rob Rose. Say hello, Rob.
Hello.
And with me, I have BFTG Jason. Jason, say hello.
I feel like I've been traded to the Cardinals for a lesser Sleeper Wire member.
Well, if you notice, we are actually missing Dirty Jobs Mike. I hate to tell you guys, but he's been dealt.
Did he go to the Texans?
No, he did not go to the Texans. Unfortunately, he's going to the Cardinals.
Oh, he's coming with me.
Well, you're not going to Arizona.
Come on, Mike. We're going to Arizona.
You're going to the Jets, Jason.
Oh, why would you banish me to Adam Gase? It's just mean. It's just mean.
It is mean. So, as you can tell, we're talking trades here, and that's because it is the very first day of free agency, and boy, have there been some trades. Gentlemen, why don't we just go ahead and jump right on into the news. We'll start out with the NFL draft. Per the NFL Network, the NFL plans to hold televised draft on April 23rd through the 25th as scheduled. Rob, I want to throw this to you. How weird is it going to be in Vegas when they have the draft and there's going to be no fans in attendance to either boo Roger Goodell or to cheer for their team's picks?
You are mistaken on how this is going to occur, sir.
Am I?
There will be no draft in Las Vegas. They are looking at ways to be able to hold the draft, but right now the hotels that they were planning on using are closed. They've already canceled. So what they're looking at doing is, I'm assuming, a giant Skype call.
That would actually be kind of interesting.
At least we'd be able to see into people's war rooms. I would assume that that would kind of be the thing that had some allure. You're going to get the analyst talking about it from a studio. They'll be cutting to people who are probably near the city or near the building, and then some people talking about what's going on behind these closed doors, and then maybe a peek in the war room.
I do have to say that I think George hit on something here, that Roger Goodell may or may not have spread this coronavirus. He's been booed one too many years, and it's finally just hurt his feelings, and he's not going to take it anymore.
Jason, I think you might be right. I think Roger Goodell is to blame for the coronavirus, and this is his way of punishing everybody around the world for booing him.
That is extremely poor taste.
It is. I apologize. Sorry. Not sorry. Let's go ahead and move into the biggest trade and the biggest acquisition of the day. The Texans trade DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick to the Cardinals for David Johnson, a second round pick, and a fourth round pick. Rob, I'm going to throw this to you first. What the hell?
This is also an extremely poor taste.
Except this really happened.
Bill O'Brien is a rampaging madman. Who gave this guy the keys to the castle? Because you need to take him back.
Well, don't you remember what happened here with Bill O'Brien? They hired Bill O'Brien, and then they fired the GM, and then they just didn't hire a GM.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, I remember the chronological order of events. My point being, what in the actual F is going on here? Like George said, this is mind-boggling. Not only did you give away one of the top three wide receivers in the league right now, you gave him away for a second round pick and David Johnson, who carries a $10.2 million cap hit this year. It's not like you're getting David Johnson and you can pay him $4 million. You got to pay him $10.2 million this year, and you gave up a second. Like, what? What?
So here's what I don't understand, and Jason, I would like you to comment on this. They agreed to pay David Johnson's salary, the entire thing. I was on record. I did not think David Johnson would be getting traded from Arizona because of how bad his contract was. And this just shows me anything can happen in the NFL. Jason, I'm going to throw it to you. What can you make out of this?
I can't make – the only thing I can say is Bill O'Brien really hated his favorite – his best player on the team. Like, he really hated DeAndre Hopkins. And if it's me right now, if I'm one of these quarterback needy teams, I'm going to see if I can get Deshaun Watson. Like, the fan base would riot, but, like, I feel like you could give him a first and get that deal done. Like, they don't have a first, and, man, Bill O'Brien's bad at this. $10.2 million for David Johnson. You're only paying Hopkins, I think, 11. So you walked away.
13. It's 13.
Was it 13?
Yeah.
All right. So you're only paying $3 million less for a player who's way lower caliber. You only got a second round pick back. Hayden Hurst netted a second, and we'll talk about that later. But Hayden Hurst netted a second, and you couldn't get a first. Like, what are we talking about here?
So I did a little research on this earlier. Here are some wide receivers who were traded away for a first round pick: Percy Harvin, Roy Williams, Joey Galloway, Peerless Price, Keyshawn Johnson, Brandon Cooks times two, Amari Cooper, Odell Beckham, Randy Moss. All those guys were traded for a first round pick. You did not get a first. This is the team and this is the coach that traded both Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins and did not get a first round pick for either one of them. If I'm a quarterback needy team, I'm like Miami, I'm going to be a homer here for a second. Dude, I'm on the phone to Bill O'Brien right now. Hey, are you guys rebuilding? Are you trying to blow it up? We've got draft picks that we are willing to trade for your quarterback right now. How does two late first and an early second sound for Watson? If I'm Miami, I'd make that call.
Here's the thing. I think Watson probably at this point don't you think he wants to get out of here? Watson's got to love his team. He loves being in Houston, but you see your coach trading talent after talent after talent away, and now he trades your best weapon away, and you don't have a first-round pick to replace him. It's a deep wide receiver draft, but you're not finding DeAndre Hopkins second round, third round, fourth round. You're just not.
No.
So it makes no sense to me.
So Rob, go ahead, Rob.
I got to think that they're trying to angle to get Amari Cooper or maybe Robbie Anderson or somebody they believe in that they can bring in to be that number one, because you're absolutely right. I don't think they pick until the 57th pick.
Yeah, they traded their first round this year and their first round next year to Miami for Laramie Tunsil and Kenny Stills.
At two separate occasions, mind you. That deal didn't happen all at once. Those were two separate deals. This is the mystery of Bill O'Brien. One of the things that I see that you had in the notes was talking about kind of how this affects the fantasy value of some of the other guys there.
Yeah.
Will Fuller can't stay on the field, man. It doesn't affect somebody who's never healthy. I mean, when he was healthy, those few games, he goes in, scores seven touchdowns and, you know, calls it a season. But like, that we can't expect that to continue. They have to bring in somebody who can profile as a number one, because we know right now there is not a player on that roster that can. Kenny Stills is a wide receiver two at best. Kiki QT disappeared last year. Will Fuller is a wide receiver two at best. Somebody needs to be the X receiver there for Deshaun Watson. I think you guys hit the nail on the head. How's he got to feel about this? Talk about feeling bamboozled when you heard the news of this trade. How do you think Deshaun Watson felt when he heard that one? I hope he at least got the news from somebody he liked.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like, I think Will Fuller can fill a number one role on this team. The only problem with it is, as you alluded to earlier, he's never really truly healthy. Like, you know, going into the season with him, he's going to miss time. It's going to happen. The dude just doesn't stay on the field. What intrigues me about this situation right now is they kind of remind me a lot of the Jacksonville Jaguars, where you presume with their wide receiver core, Jacksonville's got a bunch of wide receiver twos, in my opinion. They don't have that alpha receiver. DJ Chark's not an alpha receiver. Neither is any of the other wide receivers on that team. That's kind of what I think they're going to be going into this year. even if they use that second round pick on one of the top wide receivers in this draft, because this draft is loaded with talent at the wide receiver position, but even still, you're not getting somebody to replace DeAndre Hopkins in the second round of this draft.
No way.
And DeAndre Hopkins was targeted 150 times last year. So this team is now looking at 150 targets vacated. I'm extremely interested in Will Fuller. I'm less interested in Kenny Stills, and I'm more interested in Kiki Kuti if they don't address the wide receiver position.
Give me Darren Fells, man. Give me Darren Fells all day. He just got a contract extension, and he looked like he could be a good fantasy tight end last year. He had spurts where he did well, and I think he would do well with Deshaun Watson now that they're going to be together for a little bit, or at least we think so. Apparently everybody is possibly trade bait now.
What really interests me, like, everybody's going to be high on David Johnson coming in. The one thing David Johnson does really well is catch the ball. Last year, and I get there's 150 targets vacated, last year they didn't target the running back very often. I think Duke Johnson had 41 receptions, and Carlos Hyde only had 10. David Johnson's best asset is in the open field with the ball in his hands, running out of the backfield and catching the passes. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. To me, it doesn't make much sense. Jason, why don't you go ahead, give me your opinion on the opposite side of this. How does this trade affect the value of Hopkins, Kyler Murray, Christian Kirk? We're going to presume that Kenyon Drake is returning. He is tagged. So I'm going to presume right now that he is going to be returning. Tell me your opinion on how this affects Arizona and their offense and what they want to do.
Yeah, so they transition tagged Drake. So I don't remember what all that entails. I know other teams can match, and then the Cardinals, I think, can come back and match it. However that works, they did tag him. I don't think anybody's going to give him the same amount of money that they are. So they're going to have Drake. I think it helps. I mean, obviously it helps Murray like immensely. From a Hopkins standpoint, I think it's a slight downgrade from Watson. But remember, you had Hopkins scoring well with guys like Osweiler and whoever else was throwing the ball before Watson got there. Can't remember any of them because they're not worth remembering. But that just tells you how good Hopkins is. He was putting up monster numbers. I think it helps Kirk, although I haven't been a big fan of Kirk. I think it helps Kirk to have somebody like Hopkins on the team who can take double coverage. Larry Fitzgerald, it helps just a little bit. He's a guy really late in drafts, not dynasty, but, you know, standard leagues. Really late in those drafts where you know, you can get a value on a guy who's no longer going to be seeing tough coverage. So I think Larry is up for some touchdown progression. I like it from the Cardinals. I mean, obviously I like it from the Cardinals' point of view. They didn't have to give up their first, man. It's just incredible. So they also no longer have to go out in the draft and get a rookie. Like, they just did everything they needed to do in this offseason before the draft even started. It's just incredible.
So Kyler Murray has been banging the table for the Cardinals to take CeeDee Lamb with the number 7 pick. And I think that would be a great pairing. But now that they went out, like you said, Jason, and got DeAndre Hopkins, that number 7 pick is wide open for somebody like maybe Maki Becton or somebody that can really shore up that offensive line so Kyler Murray is not running for his life, because that man was never able to set his feet last year. He was on the run at all times. So I'd like to see them really be able, since they went out and basically just won the offseason, they gave away an albatross of a contract with a running back that fell out of favor with the front office, and now they bring in possibly one of the best wide receivers in the game to pair with a young quarterback, another veteran wide receiver, who are both big body guys. I think Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins in the red zone is dominant. That's going to be sick. Then you've also got Christian Kirk, who I think is going to do very well. I think everybody's fantasy stock goes up. Like I think George mentioned, he's going to take the double coverage, or at least the lead cornerback. So you know that there are going to be open receivers down the field. Christian Kirk is talented. I think this is going to be his year to take that jump out. I'm trying to acquire him everywhere I can. Will he be a wide receiver one? No. But will he be a solid wide receiver two? That's where I believe he's going to come into play this year.
So let me ask you this, Rob. In redraft, where are you ranking Kyler Murray?
I myself am a proprietor of the late quarterback philosophy.
I agree. So I agree. Not where you would take him, where you would rank him.
Oh, where I would rank him?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I misheard the question. Let's see. Where would I rank Kyler Murray? Crap. You caught me off guard, George. To be honest with you, this does not change his value too insanely much for me, because I think his ranking, because the guys above him are still high above him. But with his rushing floor, I think you could safely put Kyler Murray in the top six quarterbacks next season.
And that's where I have him. Jason, real quick, where do you have Kyler ranked at in redraft?
I think I had him around, eight, maybe go up to seven. I'm trying to think of who I've got above him, who would be up there. So you've got Mahomes and Jackson. Let's see. What else we got?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. No, I think he's above Russell Wilson.
He's above Russell Wilson. Here you go. Is he now above or below Deshaun Watson?
Oh, I think he's above Deshaun Watson. Unless there's more weapons there. Rob, what do you think?
That's going to be hard to say, man. Kyler Murray did not blow me away last year. Deshaun Watson's been good, although he's always had Nuke.
Like, you can't even say you've seen even a small sample size of Deshaun Watson without Nuke. Nuke's only missed two games the entire time Deshaun Watson's been their starting quarterback there.
Okay, let's play. I know we got to jump off because this is the first topic and we've been on it for a while. Let me go through
it's
the list.
It's also the biggest topic too, to be fair.
It is. Let's go through the names real quick. I think we both have Lamar and, or we all have Lamar and Mahomes above, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
So Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson.
I think I would take Russell Wilson ahead of both of them.
Yeah, I guess I'll agree with. So Russell Wilson has been so up and down. Like the back half of last season, he was not good for your fantasy football team. It's so tough because 2 years before that, the front half, he was bad for your fantasy football team. I'm on the fence with Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson, I'm not so on the fence anymore. There's no offensive firepower there. I'm worried about him running. Yeah, I don't know, man. And so Deshaun Watson, he's kind of behind Kyler Murray for me. Dak Prescott.
I think if Amari Cooper re-signs with Dallas, I think I would have Dak ahead of Kyler
and
ahead of Deshaun.
Rob?
This is going to sound gross, but it depends on where Jameis Winston lands.
Well, that was next. Jameis is next. And let's say Jameis is back with Tampa. Kyler or Jameis?
Jameis.
That's really close. I'm going to go Jameis. But I feel like the right answer will end up being Kyler.
So I'm going Kyler, and I'm going Kyler off his running ability and the fact that he probably won't throw nearly as many interceptions as Jameis. Yeah. Josh Allen.
Oh, Kyler.
Kyler now.
Yep. And then we get into some of the older guys. We got Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford. Redraft. Who are you taking?
I think I take Brees. And then Kyler ahead of all the other guys.
I think I'm going to take Matt Ryan over Kyler Murray because he's consistently up in the top five fantasy quarterbacks.
All right. These are the last two I want to go over. Last three I want to go over. How about that? Because right now I think we've got him top five, but this guy's going to push him out of the top five, I think. Carson Wentz, depending on who they pick up in wide receivers. Matt Stafford, Ryan Tannehill coming back with Tennessee.
I'm taking
Kyler over all three of them.
Yeah, because I think Kyler's rushing ability, and he can run the ball, I think gives him a much safer floor.
Deshaun has not run as much recently.
So no, he hasn't.
I know that we've kind of jumped away from that, but that's something that would give me slight pause when trying to rank them. But out of those three, I'm taking Kyler.
Yep.
I like Carson Wentz. And our boy, Mr. Steve Spack, put out a wonderful sleeper wire short on Carson Wentz just recently. If you haven't, go check that out. I just have a hard time believing in the Eagles offense until I see it again. I know they can be good, but with Zach Ertz getting a little bit older, Dallas Goedert starting to step up, there's changes coming in that offense, and I'm not 100% certain that Carson Wentz will be able to do it every week, and that's what you need to be a top five quarterback. So I think I would leave him out for Kyler.
All right. We're going to transition to the next topic. The Titans re-sign quarterback Ryan Tannehill. He gets 4 years, $118 million, $91 million guaranteed. Now, let me give you a little timeline for Ryan Tannehill last year. March 15th, he was traded from Miami to Tennessee. And October 13th, they benched Mariota, and Ryan Tannehill takes over as the starting quarterback. December 8th, the Tennessee Titans win the sixth game of the last out of their last seven. On December 29th, they clinch a playoff spot. On January 4th, they beat the New England Patriots in New England. Sorry for this next one, Rob. January 11th, they beat the Ravens in Baltimore. Exactly a year to the day later, March 15th, he signs 4 year, $118 million deal with 91 guaranteed. What a year for Ryan Tannehill. Rob, what do you think about this with the Titans re-signing Tannehill? Was it the right move? Did they overpay him? Did he get what he deserved? What's your thoughts?
One, suck it.
Sorry, I just had to go with it. Anyway.
You didn't have to.
I did.
But so here's the deal. You had a guy, you had a player that carried you through the playoffs, through the playoffs. His name was not Ryan Tannehill. Yes, they went ahead and tagged Derrick Henry, but good Lord, I think they paid the wrong man first. So do I think it's a bad move to have locked up Tannehill? No, I think he thrives in this offense. I think if Derrick Henry stays there, if they can work out a long-term deal with him, those two together will create an excellent play-action-based offense that's going to be run first. And Tannehill is accurate. I think it's a good fair market value. I expected him to make less, but I was also, to be fair, did not know where the market was and what the franchise tag was, what those numbers were. So I'm going to have to say I think it's a fair price for him. I think if he continues to perform at this level, that it will be an excellent investment. But they need to get Derrick Henry back as well. That wasn't just a run-of-the-mill running back performance. He was dominant in ways that most running backs never could be. So I really think that they paid the wrong guy first, and their priority still needs to be Derrick Henry. But Tannehill bet on himself, got paid, and good for him to finally get out from Adam Gase and show that he is a talented quarterback.
Jason, your thoughts?
No, I'm going to 100% mirror what Rob said here. I really do think they probably should have tied up Derrick Henry, but it is a quarterback league. Running backs have been devalued. I think it's probably the right move to tag Henry as long as he's actually willing to come in and play under the tag or work on a better deal. It's going to be one of those situations. As long as he's okay with being tagged, then you did the right thing here. It is below market value compared to tagging a quarterback. I think the tag for a quarterback is somewhere around 33, which is insane. He's averaging $29 million a year here. For a quarterback that brought you into the playoffs, and yes, like Rob said, it was a lot of Derrick Henry. For a quarterback that brought you into the playoffs, played well enough to not lose those games for you, this deal is something that makes sense for them. It keeps A.J. Brown with the quarterback that helped him flourish towards the end of the year. You can hopefully build some continuity there with your young wide receiver talent. I like it from a Tennessee point of view. I just don't love it when you have somebody like Derrick Henry who's so key. You're relying on him staying on a franchise tag.
So while you guys were talking, I was scrolling through Twitter because I seen a stat earlier that blew my mind. And I wish I could find it again. And I can't get the exact numbers because I cannot find it. But it was the offensive breakdown for Derrick Henry with Marcus Mariota and then when Ryan Tannehill took over. And as crazy as it sounds, when Ryan Tannehill took over, Derrick Henry averaged almost 20 yards on the ground a game more than when he was playing with Marcus Mariota. So while everybody says Derrick Henry got you there, like Ryan Tannehill got them there too. I think it's 1A, 1B. I think the Titans need both of these players. They're both extremely valuable to what Tennessee wants to do. I'm excited for Tannehill. I think he earned that paycheck. He bet on himself. And I love it when NFL players bet on themselves and then it comes to fruition for them. Like, I love that. I'm happy that he got paid. I'm thrilled that he got what he got. I think franchise tagging Derrick Henry was the right move. As Jason mentioned earlier, it's a lot less against the cap to franchise tag the running back than it is the quarterback. You've locked up the most important position on your team for the next 4 years at least. I think they will get a deal done with Henry. I think this is the first time. Actually, yeah, it is. It's the first time that the running back that has led the NFL in rushing, so the rushing champion, has ever been franchise tagged. Which I found that to be, when I was putting the show notes together, I came across that. I thought that was pretty interesting as well. I think this is great for A.J. Brown, as you guys mentioned, with Henry, if he comes back, I think it's going to be great for Henry. I think it's going to be really, really good for Jonnu Smith. I think he is going to be one of the guys I'll be talking about as we go throughout the offseason as tight ends that I'm keeping my eye on that I'm very interested in. The next one we have here, we're going to stick with the theme of quarterbacks. The Dallas Cowboys are using the exclusive tag on Dak Prescott. This basically means no team can negotiate with Dak Prescott. The exclusive franchise tag is projected to be $33 million fully guaranteed for one season. Dallas and Prescott will have until July 15th to hammer out a long-term deal. With that said, I'll give you guys the players that have been tagged, whether it be franchise tag, transition tag, and we're going to talk a little bit about Dak Prescott and his exclusive franchise tag. Tell me, A, if you think they're going to re-sign with the team, or B, if you think that they're going to hold out. Jason, let's go to you first with Dak Prescott. What do you think he's going to do? Will he sign or will he hold out?
I think Dak's going to sign. I think they're going to get something done based off this $33 million. They've offered him two huge contracts, so it's not like Dallas hasn't been throwing money at him. I think they just have to find the right amount of guaranteed money, and I think it gets done.
Rob?
Definitely. I think Dak's going to sign, and I think they get that done in probably the next week or so.
All right. Rob, let's go. We'll follow right back up with you with Derrick Henry.
I think he could be a potential holdout candidate, being as though he was the rushing champion, and he may feel a little slighted. But if he's going to be a team player, then I think he'll play under the franchise deal. I don't think he's going to I think he's asking for a whole lot of money.
Yeah, he did say he wanted deal yet. Yeah, he said he wanted nothing less than Zeke money, if I'm not mistaken.
It's gross.
Yeah, I don't think he catches the ball enough to get Zeke money. I think he learned from Melvin Gordon last year. I think he's going to go ahead and play on this big contract and then hope he gets a long-term deal with another team next year. I hope for his sake they actually give him some money, but it might just be his contract demands are too high, so the tag's all he's going to get.
And he's really only played at this ridiculously high level for a season and a quarter. This was not the Derrick Henry that came into the league. And I know it does have something to do with Marcus Mariota no longer being the quarterback, but Derrick Henry exploded with Marcus Mariota as the quarterback the year before, got into the playoffs. So I do believe that while he is a great talent, the devaluation of the running back position is going to hurt Derrick Henry. And while he's got dollar signs in his eyes, I just don't think it's going to come to fruition for him.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly think he will hold out. I think he'll do what Melvin Gordon did. I think he'll hold out to start the season and then come in after 4 or 5 weeks. Let's go to AJ Green. Jason, what do you think he's going to do? Because right now he's franchise tag.
Man, he talked about wanting out. Last year he talked about wanting to stay in Cincinnati. I think he's probably – I don't think he's going to hold out. I think he's going to play. Cincinnati tagged him so that they could draw Joe Burrows. Not that they have to draw him, but at least point to the fact that they have some weapons there, make it a little more attractive for Burrows, make Burrows a little happier about being taken by the Bengals. I think Green's going to play. It's a lot of money for a guy who's been hurt the last couple of years, even if it's 1 year. He's not going to get that kind of money even out of a 2-year deal with another team, not with his injury history. So I think he has every incentive to play for that 1-year deal.
You think he stays on the tag the whole year and then seeks free agency next year?
I know the Bengals will want to give him a longer-term 2-3-year deal. But like I said, I think it's going to be at a lower rate than what he's going to get for the 1 year. So I think he's going to be smart to just stick on the tag.
How about you, Rob?
So I think you brought up a big point. Joe Burrow is a big part of this decision. I think AJ Green wants to catch the ball from Joe Burrow because it's only going to help his stock next year when he hits free agency. He's had too many health issues the last couple years. All of which in his, I think in his lower body, which in an aging wide receiver definitely starts to cause concerns for any kind of long-term contract. So if he wants to get paid, he's going to have to put together a very solid year. Can AJ Green do that? Yes. Yes, he can. And they still have other weapons there. So I think as long as they take Joe Burrow or Tua, number one, I think either one would do very well with AJ Green. He's a massive receiver.
So at first, I agree with both of you. I thought he would take the 1 year contract and play out in Cincinnati. The more I think about it, though, I think he wants an opportunity to play on a winning team. And I think he wants to be able to play for a team that at least is going to make the playoffs. He'll be 32 years old at the start of the NFL season. He is definitely on the downside of his career. I'm not sure he wants to go through a rebuilding project to where by the time it actually pays off, he's A, not going to be very relevant, or B, out of the league. So for those reasons, I think he's not going to sign the franchise tag, and he's going to force his way out of Cincinnati some way, somehow. And it's not anything to slight or disrespect Joe Burrow coming in or even Tua coming in. I just think he's going to want to play for a team that has an opportunity to win. And he's looking at it at this point in his career. You know, he may take a little bit less money to go play for a winner. So
that's a hot take.
I don't think AJ Green is going to stick around. I think of all the players on this list, I think he's the one that is most likely to try to force his way out of Cincinnati. And it's not that, you know, he has any ill will or hard feelings towards Cincinnati. It's just, like I said, he wants to play for a team that has an opportunity to make the playoffs.
Do you think that AJ Green could really take the ego check to get paid veteran minimum or slightly over? Nobody's paying him big money, man. There's no way in hell that dude gets anywhere close to $12 million a year.
I think he would take $8 million, $7 million on a 1-year deal to go play someplace else that has an opportunity to win. Someplace like Green Bay. Someplace like if New England re-signs Tom Brady, I could see him taking a 1-year deal to go to New England. To play there. I think he just wants to be on a team that has an opportunity to win, which is something traditionally the Bengals have not been, and it's not something he's been able to experience in his career.
I certainly won't disagree with the Bengals' ability to win in the recent years, nor with them having a real shot to be contenders this year. However, I don't think this is the year that AJ Green is going to plan to get out of there. I think he's going to play this year and use this as a, hey guys, look, I'm still worth it. And then try and leverage good money out of somebody next year, because I do, if I remember correctly, the franchise tag for wide receiver is not a bad deal.
I'm not sure what the tag is.
Yeah, I think we should look that up real quick.
Well, Jason, you do me a favor. You look it up, and me and Rob will move on to the next player that's been tagged. It's somebody I have in a ton of leagues. I'm one of his biggest fans here. Rob, Mr. Hunter Henry. Personally, I think he's going to stay right where he's at. They tagged him. I think he'll work out a deal once they sign a quarterback. I think that's really what's holding this deal back from getting done, is who is going to be the quarterback for the Chargers going forward. What's your opinion on that?
Another guy who's had injuries the last couple of seasons and has not had a lot of playing time, not had the ability to show that he still has the ability. He did play in last year, but didn't jump out. I think he suffered an injury at some point last year, did he not? Or was he just late coming back? Did he play a full season last year?
No, he suffered an injury, I believe, mid-season. He came back from it, but I believe he missed a few games throughout the year.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of thing that I just don't feel as though the Chargers have a priority to sign him right now. I think that franchise tag is a very good indication of that. And if there are some tight end needy teams out there, and I think they might be willing to pay the price of 2 first-round picks, which is what I believe it would take with the franchise with a tag.
So jumping in, franchise tag for a wide receiver is $16,787,000. So I think AJ Green would be crazy to give that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
So for tight ends, it's $10,387,000. Now, considering Austin Hooper just got 11. I think 10,387 is not a bad deal for a guy of Hunter Henry's talent, as long as he can stay healthy. We haven't seen him stay healthy, but when he's on the field, he's a monster, you know.
Absolutely.
So 10,387, franchising a tight end is not a bad move for those guys. If they can get a couple year deal done where it's averaging around 8 or 9, like, that'd be way better for them. But I can see why they tag him for 10,387 and just let it ride, because it's, again, in the grand scheme of things, for how big the cap number is this year, how big the cap number is going to continue to be year over year, like $10,000 is not, or $10 million is not bad. I think that's a good spot for them. I think he'll play.
Yeah, I agree. Last one we have on the list here, and I think we all agree now that they done pulled off the heist of the century, and they've moved on from David Johnson, they're going to re-sign this guy, and that's Kenyon Drake. Right now, he's currently under the transition tag, and transition tag basically means he can negotiate with another team, he can agree to a contract with another team, but Arizona has the right to match that offer, and if they do, he has to sign with Arizona. So that's the transition tag. I think he's staying right in Arizona. I don't think he's going to go anywhere now.
Well, so the point of doing that too, the transition tag, so the franchise tag is, for running backs, is $11,200,014. The transition tag, if he stays just at the transition number, it's $9,099,000. So you save a couple of million dollars using the transition tag versus the franchise tag. With that said, it's also – so it's about $1 million cheaper than what they were going to pay David Johnson for what is a younger, better version of him in that offense. I think this is a perfect move for them. I know they want to get him locked up for a couple of years. That's why they made the trade. That's why they traded for him last year.
Yep.
So I can see them looking to work on another deal with him, a longer-term deal. but he's staying there, and I don't think if he's going to get paid $10 million a year, that puts him up in the upper echelons of running backs. I don't think there's any way he holds out on that.
I don't either. Rob, can you agree he's going to re-sign eventually with Arizona?
Oh, absolutely. And I think they eventually come up with a deal that benefits everybody.
Yeah.
Running backs aren't exactly making big cash. So like Jason, you both said, I think he'd be happy with around $10 million a year. He can show out and, earn every penny of it. I think he's going to do well in that. Arizona offense.
I've been saying all off season that Kenyon Drake wanted two things. He wanted to go to a team where he would be considered the starter, Arizona, check, now that DJ is no longer there, and that I said he was going to want anywhere between $10 to $12 million a year. He'll get that with Arizona. Those two are the two things that were the most important to him. He will get both of those from Arizona, and like you guys said, he's going to stay there. Austin Hooper signed four-year, $44 million deal with the Browns. He is now the highest-paid tight end in NFL history. What do you guys think of Austin Hooper landing in Cleveland, and how does this affect David Njoku's value?
So Njoku's a sell. You know, you can run two competent tight ends at the same time, but what we've seen from Njoku hasn't been competence. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if this team is actually going to start using a tight end now that they have a new head coach, because Njoku has had talent. They haven't put it to use. So Austin Hooper to me was playing really well before he got hurt last year, but I don't know if I saw enough to make him the highest paid tight end in the history of the league, whatever that, or highest paid tight end this year, or whatever the stat was. I liked what I saw from Austin Hooper, but man, you're talking about a really short window there where he played really well. And then the year before he played okay. And the year before that, who was he? Right. So you're talking about a guy who took advantage of what, an 8-week stretch before he got hurt and then got himself paid for it.
Yeah. I don't think you go out and sign Austin Hooper to a deal this big if you're not planning on using him in the offense. On paper, it almost looks like there's too many weapons right now in Cleveland. I think there's another domino or two to fall here. I get that you're not sure what Jarvis Landry's health is going to be come the start of the year, whether he'll be good to go to start the year or whether he may start the year on the PUP list or if he may miss the first couple of games. I get that. You got OBJ, who apparently played most of the year with a sports hernia, so he's getting that corrected, but if all these guys are healthy, you got OBJ, you got Hooper, Njoku, Chubb, Kareem Hunt. I mean, that offense is just loaded. But I think there's too many players. There's not going to be enough footballs to go around. I think they overpaid Austin Hooper. I don't think it was a deal the Browns needed to make. And I'm not sure why they made the deal. I understand if they're not happy with Njoku and he's still on his rookie deal, so he's got 1 year left and he can walk. And either that or they may try to trade him. But I still don't think that this was a deal that was smart for the Browns. What do you think, Rob?
Well, Austin Hooper is not just a fantasy tight end. He's like a real NFL tight end. He blocks well as any other out there right now. So I have to assume that this is also part of the reason why they made him the highest paid tight end in NFL history, is because he is a complete tight end. He has proven that he can do all the things that David Njoku hasn't, which is stay on the field fairly often. I mean, that last year's injury was rough, especially for your fantasy season. But I think this is one that he got paid because he can do more than just catch the ball. But he's also very good at catching the ball. So he plays the tight end position well. But I was very surprised myself. I didn't think the Browns were going to be out searching for a tight end when they had David Njoku. Maybe they're going to try and move to this two tight end dominant, set your passing game up off the running game kind of offense that's proven to succeed in the NFL right now. Nick Chubb is one hell of a hammerback, so I would absolutely think that could be successful if they wanted to start running more two tight end sets.
Yeah, no, that's very, very good points. Very good points.
Yeah, I mean, we're a fantasy football show, so you're absolutely right. I think we get lost in the whole idea of Austin Hooper as a fantasy football player, and we forget, like, these guys actually have to go out and block and do all the other things that tight ends are supposed to do. And you're right, Austin Hooper is a good all-around, so he might not be, to us, the best fantasy guy next year, but he's a very good tight end for what they need to do, and that's a good lesson when we're talking about these free agents doing a free agent show. It's not just about us, these fantasy football guys. It's about these teams trying to get better all around. Yep. So that's a hugely good point.
Yeah.
It's bigly.
And nobody's going to confuse David Njoku as a blocking tight end. That's for sure. The real quick here, a little bit of news. Vikings agreed to a 2-year extension with Kirk Cousins for $66 million. And Stephon Diggs has been tweeting a bunch of cryptic tweets. One of them that he tweeted included, it's time for a change. So with that, Jason, do you think he's going to get traded? And if so, where to?
There's been rumors about him getting traded all offseason. Wouldn't it be some crazy Bill O'Brien stuff to bring him down to Deshaun Watson?
They trade a second round pick for him, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that gets it done. He'll probably have to give a third, or first from 3 years from now, since that's all he's got. He won't be there 3 years from now, so what's he got to lose? I do want to say about Kirk Cousins, man, doesn't that just prove that this coronavirus is making everybody spend money on some bullshit?
No, Kirk Cousins is
oh, come on, one of the joke.
I know it was a joke, but he's still a good quarterback. What, you don't like that? How about you, Rob? Do you like it?
The joke or Kirk Cousins? Because both of them are kind of blah.
Yeah, they're both kind of blah. I agree.
No, I like Kirk Cousins signing back there. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't been great, but you know the money they gave him is okay. It's just average quarterback money now. They're not going out and getting anybody better anytime soon.
I don't know if I'd say $33 million a year is average quarterback money.
It's the market. They were going to, you know, they're talking about Jameis Winston getting 33. Ryan Tannehill just got 29. You know, nobody's saying Tannehill's the best quarterback in the league.
True. Very
so
true.
So I don't know. I don't know why players like Diggs and those guys are just not happy with their – they end up not happy with their situation. They got to get out. I don't have a great landing spot. I know the Texans would be a good opening. There was some rumor about the Patriots. I don't know if he's a Patriot-style player or not, especially if he's on Twitter.
Yeah, I can't see him going. I can't see him wanting to get traded to New England. I can't see New England dealing with him. Although, you know, they were willing to deal with Antonio Brown. So, you know, what the hell do I really know?
And they dealt with, you know, they dealt with some guys. They dealt with Randy Moss over the years. But
yeah, I think a good spot for him if he does get traded would be Philadelphia. Would be a very good spot. Again, I'm going to harp back to Green Bay. Would be a good spot. I'm trying to think of teams that where he could go where he would either be the number one or a strong 1B to a strong 1A.
How about Houston?
Yeah, we mentioned Houston. Jason said, wouldn't that be some stuff? They ended up trading him to Houston. I don't know if I would like it that much. It would just make me wondering what Bill O'Brien is really doing. Like, I mean, I'm already wondering what he's doing. Now you go out and you trade DeAndre Hopkins, and then you turn out and try to acquire Stephon Diggs. It's like, I don't know. It's a Bill O'Brien move.
It's a downgrade. Yeah, I mean, it's a downgrade, and you're giving up a lot for it. So I don't think it's worth it.
No, it's a huge downgrade. He's best off taking that second round pick and trying to get something in the draft. Rob, I'm going to throw this one to you. Ravens trade tight end Hayden Hurst and a fourth round pick to the Falcons for second round pick and a fifth round pick. Now, I do know Hayden Hurst was a first round pick a couple years ago. He actually was drafted in the same draft class as Mark Andrews. What can you tell us about Hayden Hurst and how do you think he's going to fit in Atlanta now?
He was drafted before Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews in that draft. Keep that in mind.
Yes, that I did not know that.
The Ravens traded back into the first round with the Eagles, took the 32nd pick and took Lamar Jackson. Mark Andrews was a third round pick, and Hayden Hurst had the foot injury, had a screw put in his foot. Last year was his first year really healthy in the NFL. And while he didn't excel, he was the tight end too. He was behind Mark Andrews. I think as much as it saddens me to see Hayden Hurst go, he was one of my favorite Ravens. He is a huge mental health advocate, knows the struggles firsthand, and I got a lot of respect for anybody who can pick up a second professional sport. So it's sad to see you go, Hayden, but I think the Falcons, after they got rid of Austin Hooper, or let him walk, rather, is possibly one of the best landing spots he could have had, save New England, and I don't think the Ravens ever would have dealt him to the Patriots. So for him to now be the tight end one in an offense that uses a tight end, I think while he's not the blocker that Austin Hooper was, I think he's still learning, and I think he's going to have a good fantasy outlook. I think now is the time to try and get him. I have him in a lot of leagues because the Ravens are my team, and I just wanted to have Hayden Hurst in case Mark Andrews went down. And now I'm stoked because he is absolutely going to be a tight end one, and I think he's hopefully he's going to be over 600 yards this year and have at least 5 touchdowns.
Both, I think, are very reasonable as well. Jason, you have any thoughts on Hayden Hurst going to Atlanta?
No, I think it's a good move for both Baltimore and Atlanta. With Hooper moving on, just like Rob said, they had some extra talent there. Hayden Hurst was a luxury they didn't need. A second-round pick is nothing to sneeze at. Apparently, it's the going rate for all-star wide receivers and backup tight ends. So I think it's a great move for both teams. Like, I think it's a good value for both teams, and I think they should both walk away happy. So let's see if the Baltimore turns around and what they take with the second round pick. That's what always ends up making these deals, right? If they hit on this pick, it was great for them. If they whiff or Mark Andrews gets hurt, it was bad. But like today, it looks great.
Yep, completely agree. I think it's a great trade, as you said, for both teams. It filled the need for Atlanta, and the Ravens recouped a second round pick after spending a first round pick on him. So it's a win-win for both teams. Those are the best trades I like to see go through. Real quick, while we were talking about Atlanta, the Falcons are officially cutting Devonta Freeman. They tried to trade him last year at the deadline. They could not, so they officially waived him. So now he's a free agent. We are not going to address where we think he's going to land because for time's sake. But I do want to play a quick little game here with the remaining free agent quarterbacks, because there's still a couple big names left. Some dominoes have yet to fall. The Bucs seem interested in Teddy Bridgewater and Tom Brady. They seem to be all in for Brady with Bridgewater as the backup. Chargers are rumored to be after Jameis Winston. Indy is linked to Phillip Rivers. And the Bears are showing interest in both Teddy Bridgewater and Nick Foles. Real quick, without giving a lot of in-depth reasoning, Jason, I'll start with you. Where do you think Phillip Rivers ultimately ends up?
This one, I think, is the easiest of the bunch. He's been linked heavily to Indy. I think that's where he goes. He's going to be an Indy.
Rob?
Yep, I agree.
I agree as well. Next one is probably, I'm going to say he's the biggest domino to fall, because I think once he signs, we'll start getting a little bit more clarity on the rest of the free agent quarterbacks. Rob, I'll go to you first with this one. Thomas Brady, where do you think he goes?
Yeah, I think he's going to Tampa Bay. They aren't kidding about being all in. And I think that gives him the best group of pass catchers, although Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is nothing to sneeze at. But then it's not Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. So I like to see Tom Brady down there.
Jason?
I think he resigns back with New England. I think Tampa's all in on him, but I feel like it's the wrong type of offense. Arians is a down-the-field guy. Tom Brady's lost some arm. Tampa doesn't have a running back to throw to. So unless they address that in free agency or the draft, he's not going to have that guy out of the backfield he likes. And then on top of that, the offensive line isn't built to protect Tom Brady, who's let's say a statue back there. So I think it's the wrong offense for Tom Brady, but they're all in on him. And Arians is a good enough coach to use the guy if they do sign him. So I think it's the wrong move for Tampa, but they're in on him. I just think he resigns with the Patriots, and this is all just pushing New England's number up a little bit.
So let me ask you this, Jason, because you are the resident Tampa fan here. Is it you don't want him in Tampa, or you just don't think Tampa will ultimately end up signing him?
I think it's both. I just don't think he's the right quarterback for this system.
I agree, he's not the right quarterback for this system.
So it's a little bit of both. I don't think he actually signs. I think it's all a ploy to get New England to give up a little bit extra cash. And so I don't think he signs, and I don't think he fits.
Yeah, and I said this the a couple shows ago with Brady. This is the first time he's ever been in free agency. So I think he's taking these interviews. He wants to be wooed. He wants to be loved. I think it was Rob who said he wants to be the prettiest girl at the dance. And ultimately, I agree. I think he does end up back in New England.
He wants the GMs to kiss him like he kisses his son.
Yes. Next, we have Jameis Winston. Jason, I'll throw it to you first. Where do you think Winston ends up?
I think Winston comes back to Tampa. I think they gave him a 2-year deal. They probably give him somewhere between 30 and 33 million a year, and he comes back for 2 years.
Rob?
New England.
Whoa. Okay, that's a hot take. You want to elaborate with that one a little?
I thought we were supposed to be moving quickly here.
We are. Wow. Winston to New England. That would be interesting.
The reason I think New England is an actual possibility is because Bill Belichick is absolutely the one person in the world that I think that could change what Jameis Winston has a problem with, and that's poor decision-making, because he's going to take that right out of his hands. They are going to put him on a strict regimen. They're not going to allow him time to go goof off and hang out and do all these dumb things. So I think that the culture could make Jameis a champion.
I think it could. I don't think Winston would welcome that drastic of a change.
I think Winston would absolutely welcome $30+ million a year and a chance at a championship.
Yeah, possibly. Last but not least, we have Teddy Bridgewater. Rob, we'll stick with you. Where do you think Bridgewater ultimately ends up?
Unfortunately for Indy, I think since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win the Tom Brady sweepstakes, that leaves them kind of shortchanged. I don't think they were impressed with Jacoby Brissett, so I think they take a swing and the Chargers take a swing. So, I'm not excited to see Teddy Bridgewater play anyway, really. I think that injury really, really messed him up, and both mentally and physically. And it's been hard for him to come back. He did not look spectacular last year, and I don't think he's going to earn a huge payday here. So, between those two teams, I wouldn't be excited to see him land either, but I think I would say I'd rather see him with the Chargers. More weapons.
Jason?
I have to jump in with some breaking news. The Bills are receiving Stephon Diggs that includes a package of a first-round pick. Sorry for jumping in there. The Bills are receiving Stephon Diggs for a package including – let me see if I can find some more real quick because it literally just came.
I've got it right here. It's the Bills are getting Stephon Diggs and a 7th-round pick. The Vikings are getting Buffalo's 1st-round pick, 5th-round pick, and 6th-round pick.
We live in a world right now where Stephon Diggs is worth more than DeAndre Hopkins.
And they're also getting a 21st, 4th. So the Vikings are getting a ton of draft picks for Stephon Diggs. They got a 1st, a 5th, a 6th this year, and a 4th next year. And the Vikings are trading away Stephon Diggs and a 7th this year. So that's a hot take. We were literally just talking about Stephon Diggs. going to Buffalo is kind of interesting. They were needing a wide receiver. I'm not sure how I feel about Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. I know Josh Allen has a cannon of an arm, and Stephon Diggs can get down the field. He is definitely a big play wide receiver, but I'm not sure I really like the move for Stephon Diggs.
That's a steep price to pay for a taller Smokey Brown.
Yes, it's a huge price to pay. They gave up a lot. And I'm not sure that I really like it from the Buffalo standpoint. Now, flip side of that, from the Vikings standpoint, I absolutely love it for them. They shed his salary. They got a first, a fifth, and a sixth this year, and a fourth next year. I got no complaints. That first, they could go out. If Buffalo's first, they could go out and get yourself a CeeDee Lamb or a Jerry Jeudy or a Chenault or a Ruggs or somebody like that to come in and replace Stephon Diggs. And you still got – he's young, they'd be younger, they'd be cheaper, and you still got a handful of draft picks to go out and address your depth with on your team from Buffalo. So I really like the trade for Minnesota. How about you, Jason?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it from the Minnesota side. Obviously, Stephon Diggs wanted out. There's been talk all offseason about Stephon Diggs getting traded. Buffalo finally landed their guy. Remember last year they tried to get AB. That worked out for them. They finally were able to get rid of a first-round pick for a good wide receiver. And then they got a whole lot more. So I think this is a great move for Minnesota. I'm not 100% sure I love it for Buffalo, but you know, they got their guy and good on them. They just gave up a whole lot more. If I was them, I'd be mad. I wouldn't have traded a second for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. Rob, let me ask you this real quick while we're talking about the Vikings here. How does this affect Thielen and Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins and all that? How do you think that missing Stephon Diggs is going to affect them?
Well, it didn't really affect them too much last year, so Steph Diggs was almost non-existent in that offense.
Yeah, it's a team that obviously wants to run more. So, you know, missing Diggs is not that big a deal. Where it'll be a big deal is if Thielen does get hurt again, you won't have somebody to fall back on.
Yeah, and I think they can address that with a speedy wide receiver in the draft. There's quite a few different type of wide receiver profiles to choose from. There's big body guys, there's speedsters, there's guys that can do it all. So, they have some serious draft capital. If they want to try and move up and take one of the top guys in the class, CeeDee Lamb maybe, Jerry Jeudy, I think they have the capital to try and get up there. They have two later round first round picks right now.
Yep. So very interesting breaking news here. Jason, good on you for bringing that trade to our attention. Let's see. We got the Colts. They traded the number 13th overall pick to San Francisco for defensive tackle DeForest Buckner. No real effect for fantasy other than IDP leagues. I just figured I'd throw it in there because the Colts trading the number 13 overall pick. That's a pretty early pick. Cardinals are one of the five teams that could be forced to do hard knocks if no team volunteers. The other four teams that could possibly do hard knocks or could volunteer for it are the Lions, the Broncos, the Jaguars, and the Steelers. I think, and I'm going to speak for everybody here, I think we all want the Cardinals to do hard knocks. But if you had to choose a secondary team from the Lions, Broncos, Jaguars, and Steelers, who would you want to do hard knocks, Jason?
No, I want to see the Cardinals with Hopkins and Kyler Murray. Give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, but if you had to choose a secondary team, if
oh, the Cardinals, sorry, I was...
yeah. No, if we had to have a secondary team, like I said, I think we all want the Cardinals to do it. But if we had to pick a secondary team to do it, which one would you want to see?
I want to see Fat Big Ben Roethlisberger doing like one of those workout montages to get back in shape. I'm going Steelers.
How about you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm also. I want to see the shame on the Steelers' faces every day.
So I believe in dysfunction. So I want to see the Jaguars. Like that. That's a team that was just basically a coin flip away from the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And they've sold off 8 of the 12 starters on their defensive side of the ball. I just, there's so much dysfunction there. It would be a good watch. I want to see the Jaguars. We got Jimmy Graham re-signs with Chicago. I don't think that gets anybody excited. Former Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota is finalizing a deal with Las Vegas. So this to me is kind of interesting. He's doing the same thing that got him replaced with Ryan Tannehill. Do you guys think by midseason Marcus Mariota will beat out Derek Carr as the starter in Las Vegas?
No, not even partially likely. I shook my magic eight ball. It said no effing way, home slice.
How about you, Jason?
No, I think the only way he gets on the field is if Derek Carr gets hurt.
Yeah, I agree. He the number two overall pick is now being relegated to a solid backup quarterback. And I think he'll be a decent backup quarterback. I don't think he's got it in him to be a good starting quarterback. The last thing I want to ask before we end this show, after day one of NFL free agency, Jason, give me your two biggest winners and your biggest loser. Your two biggest losers.
I think it's easy to say Arizona's probably the biggest winner.
Yep, I would agree.
Obviously. I'm going to say the Dolphins are probably the number two biggest winner. They had a lot of money. They've spent a bunch of it on defense. It's going to be a big change for that team. We talked about this before the show. I don't see them as stepping up huge this year. I think they're building themselves for the future, which is what this move is. I think next year is going to be the year where they take a giant step forward once they've played together. But I think what they're doing now is building a foundation. So I think those are two of my biggest winners. Obviously, Bill O'Brien, the Texans, they're the biggest loser, like by far the biggest loser.
It's not even close.
It's not close. And I think maybe the Bills after this deal, giving up all those picks for Diggs. I mean, it's a small thing. There hasn't been another big loser here. I haven't seen a lot of any other teams making some really bad moves.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville as a loser. Like they've traded. They're selling everything. They're selling away Calais Campbell. They sold away AJ Bouye. They're probably going to sell Nick Foles, which, I mean, for them it makes sense, right? Like Nick Foles, they way overpaid him. Gardner Minshew is just as good, if not maybe a little bit better. He actually brings more excitement to their fan base. He's somebody that can advertise a little bit more. So it makes sense in that aspect, but I think they're a loser because they're just selling away their pieces at this point.
Well, they are also not selling home tickets because they now are taking more home games in London.
Yeah, they got two of them this year, back to back.
I think they have more games in London than any other team.
They do. They traditionally go every year.
So, yeah, that's terrible. Like, you can't just be selling off everything in the fire sale. Although, look at what the Miami Dolphins are doing. I think some people are saying, okay, maybe we can just blow it up. But obviously, you got the Arizona Cardinals as the winner. They got Nuke. That's awesome. I think the Ravens are low-key also winning this offseason. They paid a fifth-round pick for Calais Campbell.
Yep.
And then signed him to a two-year extension. Last year, like mid-season, they paid a fifth-round pick for Marcus Peters from the Rams. They just got Michael Brockers from the Rams. And they traded Hayden Hurst for the 55th pick in the upcoming draft and some other things. But I really like what DaCosta has been able to do and how quickly he's been able to do it. He is making serious moves, and I really like the forecast for next year. So obviously Arizona's got a brand new target there, but I think this might earn the Ravens a chance at that big-bodied wide receiver that they've been missing. Could be Notre Dame wide receivers in back-to-back drafts with Chase Claypool. Wouldn't hate that.
No, I wouldn't hate that either. So, Jason, let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you that Rob went with the Ravens?
Is negative a number?
Of course it is. But no, I
disagree with anything that I just said.
No, I was just getting ready to say I give Rob a lot of shit, but I actually agree with everything he says with regard to what the Ravens have done. I actually like everything that they have done so far. So I will agree with you, Rob. Yes, the Ravens have so far been winning the offseason.
When I said low key, I didn't say they were taking first place or anything.
No,
like that.
They're
just quietly cleaning up now.
They've been going about it very smart, very strategically, getting good players at cheap values. It's what you would like to see a winning team do, and that's exactly what they're doing. So I don't hate it. I like to give you shit. What can I say? So that's going to end our show. Please download, tell your friends. We will be here all off season giving you original SleeperWire content. You could find Rob on Twitter at Isobor1. Actually, Rob, you do it a lot better than I do. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you?
Well, like you just said, you can find me on Twitter at Esorbor1. That's Esorbor1 because it's my name backwards. I am Rob Rose.
And Jason, why don't you tell the people where they can find you?
They can soon find me in Arizona. Apparently, Houston traded me. But then right after that, you can find me on Twitter at BFTGJason. And you can find me on the sleeper at BFTGDrMill.
And you can find me on Twitter at BFTGPod. You can find me on sleeper at BFTGEO. Again, want to thank you guys for listening and stay tuned to Sleeper Wire for more original content this offseason to include Dynasty and Redraft. Thank you very much.